way the night ended. Is it just me? Or is it when you buy a car, you see everybody else with the same car? You think you're going to be exclusive? I got a Ford Explorer. The driver's side door kind of messed up. It's hard to close, but easy to open. And I went to Walmart, and I was in there for 3 hours, and I come back out, and I see an older white lady in the driver's side of my car looking around like she was looking for something. I was pissed. So I creep up on her, and I'm just like, "What you doing in my car?" Just like, "Ah!" She just farted all over me. I scared the flatulence out of her ass, man. Come to find out, my car was 2 rows over. That was
arguing with Barack Obama, man. What? And you can't tell me Barack Obama do anything wrong, man. Trying to convince a black person Barack Obama has did something wrong is like trying to convince white people OJ didn't do it. We know OJ cannot stand. And I think, and the child support ain't no joke, man. I'm telling you, man. I tell the judge every time, I say, "Judge, she ain't doing what she's supposed to do with the money." Every time I see her, she got a hair done, she got a new car. Every time I see my kids, they look like Alfalfa and Buckwheat from Little Rascals. So, "Judge, this is a disgrace. I be so broke, man, I have to cut back on some things, man. So I don't wear drawers." I mean, it's cool at the house, but when you go to work, man, you walk around all day with no drawers on, when you get back home, man, you just got some cottage cheese balls, man. It's, oh. Jesus, it hurts so bad. Y'all be cute, man. Y'all be good.
I might be too strung out on compliments, overdosed on confidence.
Yo, welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. You see it. You see how we open it up, man. We're getting into this comedy thing today. I am Joseph Ward. Shout out to my co-host, Mr. Patrick Irvin. He ain't here today, but you know, he behind the scenes doing his thing. Remember that the Freedom Train Podcast Series brought to you by PAX Inc. Go to the website, www.pactsinc, to learn more about the organization, to support the organization. Make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where you can learn more about myself, Patrick, Shelby, Candace, Enigma, all of the podcasting that we got going on the Freedom Train Network. Because it go down, stay down, and be down right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. It's really going down, as you heard in the intro. We don't wear drawers over here because we ain't got enough money because child support trying to take all our money. So we don't wear drawers no more over here. So it's all good though, man. But we finna get into some comedy. We finna get some laugh and learn a little bit and learn a little more about Silly Saturdays. We got the homie Big Hugh up in the house, one of the comedians out of Tallahassee, Florida, who's out here doing this thing. He's been down in the comedic scene for Tallahassee for a while, holding it down. Building a foundation for himself, growing as a comedian. He's also a host of comedian shows, and he's using his platform to help other up-and-coming comedians make sure they get a good foot in the game. As you see in the background on his side, that signature lounge, that's where the Silly Saturdays go down at. So I want all y'all to get on your feet and put your hands together for the big homie, Mr. Brandon Houston, a.k.a. Big Hugh Comedy, really going down in the South. What's going on, bro?
Hey, that's what's up. Shit, I'm glad
to be here,
man. Appreciate you, Joe, for having me.
Hey, man, it's all good, man.
About Silly Saturdays.
Yeah. And that's one of the main things we want to do here, man. Help you get the word out, but also learn more about you in this comedy thing. I'm a big fan of comedians, man. I'm a big comedy fan. I think I was a comedian in one of my past lives. I don't really know, but all I know is it take a lot to get up on that stage. It's not something that any and everybody can do, even though everybody think they funny, you know. So that's why we're gonna learn a little more from you today, man, to get into it. So before we get deep into it, man, tell the people about yourself. Who is Brandon Houston, man? Tell us who you are.
All right, well, I'm Brandon Houston, man, aka Big Hugh. That's my stage name, man. I'm born and raised in Quincy, Florida.
The Q.
Country, man. I went straight to the military after I graduated high school, man, and served my country proudly. And then I came back home, man, had a few kids and got a job and trying to hustle these jokes to keep them fed.
Hey, that's what's up. That's what's up. So how did you get like introduced to comedy? Like what got you interested in comedy and doing comedy?
Man, you know what, man? For me, man, I got into comedy when I was down and out, probably one of the worst times of my life. You know, when I was kind of like at rock bottom. I was reading a book by Christopher Gardner called Start Where You Are. And, you know, he had made a statement in there, you don't want to, like, be 50 years old wishing you would have started something when you was 40. You don't want to be 60 wishing you would have started 50. He was like, wherever you are in life right now, go ahead and start it. So I was like, I can't go no further down than where I'm at. And I always was a class clown, and I always wanted to do comedy. One of my friends told me I should do comedy one time. So I hit the Comedy Zone up. They told me what it took to get on stage. I did what it took. I got my chance to come do the open mic, and man, I was hooked ever since, man. I was horrible that night, but nonetheless, man, I didn't never want to quit or change my mind or defer to any other thing but comedy. Comedy was my thing.
Right. Right. But you say you was horrible that night, but you still doing it. Right. So what did you learn from that night? Or what was in you to say, all right, this wasn't the best. Hell, is my first time, but I'm gonna keep going. What made you keep going?
Well, you know what, man, it's just you know, regardless of how bad I was, I still managed to get a chuckle or two. And I think I kind of got addicted to the chuckle or two. I'm like, you know what? I want to get more the next time I get up. And then the next time I say, I want to get more. So I guess a lot of times, man, you know, it get fueled, man. When you start telling a story and somebody start laughing at your story, then you just get extra in it, you know, just to get your story across and people laugh at it. Sometimes for me, man, it's like an adrenaline rush or a high. When you done went up there, you done did good, man. And people done laughed at the things that you had to say. And you actually came there and was funny that night, man. It's like a drug. And so, you know, I want to say, you know, hey, that first time where I got a couple giggles and a couple chuckles, you know, I believe in that moment. Like, well, you know, I can do this. You know?
Right. So, got some. That's what's up. Nah, that's good, though, because you know, especially now, we live in a lot of times where people, when time get tough for folk, they like to quit. You know, we born in the 1900s, so we not quitters. You know what I'm saying? So, right. So, you said the Comedy Zone. So you went on stage at the Comedy Zone, and you weren't good. But just tell us a little more about that night. Like what went into that night? Like what led up to that night? Because I know you're saying it wasn't good, but on the stage, like what was going through your mind as you were telling your jokes, and how was the feeling being on stage for the very first time?
Well, you know what, man? Actually, I rehearsed my set that I was gonna do on stage in front of my sister, my girlfriend at the time, man. I had wrote it down, rehearsed it, and did it. And they weren't laughing that much, man. So I was like, oh, I hope these people laugh, man. But the only thing, I was just ready to get it over with, man. You know, I was like, I'm here, I'm doing it, I'm going through the motions. So I'm accomplishing something that I said I was going to do. So I was in the middle of it. I was just ready to get to the end and see what the end result was going to be. I was definitely terrified. But at the same time, brave. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, you know, if you want something, it ain't gonna fall in your lap. You got to kind of go get it. So this is me going to get it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not the pawn with the real debates. You know, what I'm gonna do now? I'm at the pawn. So this is my opportunity to get on stage. So, you know, let's bite this hook and fish and see what we can eat.
You know, right.
I was just glad to be there. You know, especially when you set your mind to do something and it actually comes to pass. You know, that's the, that was an accomplishment in itself. So, I felt accomplished, afraid, and yet at the same time, I felt kind of invincible, man, because it's like, I felt like in that moment when I got on stage and I did what I did, I started feeling like it ain't nothing I can't do.
Right, right. You know what I mean? Now, that's cool. It kind of remind me of when I hear Steve Harvey telling about his story becoming a comedian and, you know, his first time on stage, and a lot of other comedians who talk about their first time on stage. It's just, you know, that fuck it moment. Like, I got to do this, man, and I'm going to do this. And you take that first step and you realize it's not as, and it's just like anything in life. You realize it's not as scary as it was, as you had it in your mind. And like you're saying, damn, I can do this. So yeah, that's what's up, man.
Yeah. That was an aha moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moments, man, where you start, you know, where you start to become an artist, man, and start believing in yourself a little bit more. You know, just I assume like a cornerback when he gets his first interception. And I was like, hey, I can be deadly out here. So,
right,
you know, I felt like I could be funny out here.
That's what's up. All right, so bam, do the Comedy Zone. That's your first time performing. You got that out the way. You know you can get better. Hell, it's your first time. You know you can get better. So what came next after the Comedy Zone?
Man, I mean, you know, when you that early in the game, man, you got to kind of jump on what you got. The Comedy Zone closed shortly after I started.
So, wow.
After that, man, we had got a little spot called Bird's Oyster Bar.
Okay.
Downtown, they do open mic on Wednesdays. And, you know, we started doing the open mic, man, but I guess the challenge of it wasn't really there because, I mean, it was an open mic and the structure. See, when we did open mics at Comedy Zone, man, it was a lot of structure. They kind of like laid out where you do things in the comedy, in the comedy business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, it wasn't always do what you want to do. You know, I think we would get words when we get there, and they're like, put this in the act. You're like, man, I've been practicing on this act all week. You don't add this word, and, you know.
Wow.
And it was challenging thing to make you think and apply yourself a little bit more. When we got the Birds, man, a lot of that stuff kind of went out the window because everybody kind of felt like, you're no better than me. You know what I'm saying? At the Comedy Zone, we worked at the Comedy Zone, then, oh, we trying to be your friend because we trying to get booked. And, you know, it's motives and incentives to like.
Mm-hmm.
Now we over the Birds doing this open mic. You know, like, fuck you. You ain't nobody. You just here doing comedy with us. You just like us. You no different. So, man, a lot of the challenge, man, a lot of the challenge of comedy and stuff was kind of gone, comic destruction, and cats was just getting out of hand and saying anything and everything on stage. So, after that, I started just doing 5 minutes at places. I see an event happening somewhere in town. I call the number, I'd be like, hey, man, I'm a comedian. You mind if, you know, I want to see if I come entertain your crowd for 5 minutes, you know, no charge to you. And, you know, a lot of people started giving me opportunities, like, well, hey, come on down, you know what I'm saying? Hey, come on down. So
okay.
I started doing that. So I killed the 5 minutes, start ripping. So people start coming at me, I want a comedian at my birthday party. I want a comedian at this right here. I want a comedian at that. And, you know, just a consistent grind of that. Man, you know, just kind of like trying to be visible. Man, all the way around, man, you know, that advances us a little bit more, you know, what we need to do, because after the Comedy Zone, it wasn't nothing. You know, I had to come out there and get it out the mud.
Hey, well, nah, that's cool though, and I'm liking what I'm hearing, because this is a great story, because I've been 37 years in Tallahassee, and I literally know nothing about the comedy scene in Tallahassee. So I'm definitely thankful for this, because you're giving me some insight into what it's like being a comic in Tallahassee. Because I know I had a homeboy a couple years back who was trying his hand out, but he never really pursued it. And then shout out to the homie Oliver Mitchell. He's out here doing his thing out here on the ground with you as well. And so, you know, he funny as hell as well. So and you know, just knowing him from school, like, he's always been funny. But I understand there's a difference between like being funny in regular life and in school, funny telling jokes, and being on the stage. But to be able to see the transition is amazing, but still not necessarily really being able to see the comedy scene in Tallahassee. So I do have this question. So around what year would you say the Comedy Zone closed down? What year was that?
I probably want to say 2011. Probably no later than 2011, man. It was
okay. So where was it located?
It was located right there on Tennessee Street, man. Right there by, I think it was by Backyard Bristow or something. Right there on Tennessee Street, right across, almost right across the street from Le Chevron, right there by Legon High School.
Okay. Sure enough, yes, sure enough. I know what you're talking about. Now, it was on the right hand side over there across from Leon. Yeah, because it's a, you're right, it is that backyard bistro restaurant now. Sure enough, okay,
yeah,
okay. I remember that now. All right, so speaking of that, say it again.
I was saying that's where it all started.
Okay, so tell me about the comic scene in Tallahassee, like coming up, like, is there a real scene? Did you have to, because I know you're saying when the Comedy Zone closed down, you had to create something for yourself, but just comics as a whole, somebody coming up in Tallahassee around 2011, want to be a comic, what's the scene looking like?
Oh, man. I mean, we had one comic show that jumped off every month. That was Marvin Dixon
right.
From the Sundays over there, top. That was jumping off every month. Outside of that, bro, it was nothing. There was a lot of people that I ran into that, you know, said, hey man, I can get you this, I can get you that, blah blah blah, but it never really turned out to anything. I remember, man, shit kind of crazy, but I was trying to catch the owner of Top Flight, because I was trying to get on stage and do Top Flight comedy, you know. I'm hungry, trying to see what I can do. And when I caught him outside, you know, in the middle of the day, he didn't know who the fuck I was. Like, who the fuck are you? Like, why you walking up on me? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I talked to him, and he was like, man, you got to get with Marvin Dixon. So I said, okay, cool. Man, I stood outside Top Flight one day, man. It was hot as hell. I was dressed Top Flight ready with the bug hat. I had got there way early than the comedy show started, man. Out there sweating to death, man. I seen Marty Dixon when he pulled up. And like when he's stepping out of the car, I'm stepping up to him, like, hey man, what's up? I'm Big Hugh. And he like, hey man, who the fuck? You like, hey, back up, bro. You know, like, I don't know you like that, you know? Well, I told him who I was and what I was trying to do, man. And he gave me a shot, gave me 5 minutes on stage, man. First time I did it, it was all right. You know what I'm saying? It was like, all right. But like the second time I did it, boy, I crushed that thing, man. I had learned so much more, man. And from that gave me other opportunities.
And okay.
From that gave me other opportunities. And when people see you start, when people see what you're doing on the book, man, or on social media or whatever, they're like, oh, Big Q doing this, oh, you doing this, you doing that. And a lot of times, man, people around here want to see something a little different. So a lot of what I was doing was parties, events. Man, we did comedy in somebody's living room one time. Me and my homeboy, man, Paige. He was in somebody's living room.
Hey, you got to get it.
In buildings without no microphone, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, you get it however you can get it. And that's mostly what it was, man. It was property business. And I got in property business by somebody first saying, hey, come do my birthday party. I did one birthday party. A couple people there was like, oh, damn, we could do this for our birthday party. And boom, boom, boom. I got like a birthday party I'm doing in November. I got a fashion show that I'm also doing the afternoon of the 23rd. So it's like,
okay.
There was also a promoter over there in Bainbridge. It was a little shady, but he was putting together comedy shows and, you know, he was trying to keep down the numbers or whatever. So he, you know, he brought me in, you know, gave me a chance to do my thing or whatever. And, you know, I killed it, man. It's just even from that, people was like, oh, yeah, man, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? How much you charge? And I had cards. And I was just giving people my cards and stuff, man. You know, they don't need it right then. Probably 6 months down the road before they look at that card. But that's part of my networking, man, just trying to get work when there wasn't no work. And then not only that, you know what I'm saying, you got to get outside the city, man. I used to kill Jacksonville a lot, man. Jacksonville was one of the places I used to go a lot. And, you know, I became some good friends with some comedians out of Jacksonville. So, you know, sometimes they had a gig going on, they hit me up, I go to Jacksonville. And from that, came more work, more opportunities. And, you know, shit, man, I didn't. And that's just kind of how you had to get it, because it ain't no comedy clubs around here, man. There ain't none at all.
Nah,
so
right.
Mostly what you get work at around is private events.
Right, right. Now, but see, that's what I'm talking about, though. That's why I'm loving this, what you're telling me, though, because would you say you were one of the comedians, especially in the 2000s, who helped to I'm not going to solely say you did it alone, but would you say you one of the comics in Tallahassee who, for the scene that is that we do have today, you helped set that scene?
I mean, I just try to do my part, man, and you know, one of the things I try to do is become relevant as I could, or is give myself as much strength as I could in this area, you know, comedy wise, by having my own room and being able to give other comedians work. When you start talking about the network of comedians in Tallahassee, man, a lot of us don't really work that much. So the scene before COVID, we have thriving open mic.
Mm-hmm.
But from the open mic, we really weren't producing comedians that can go out to other places where people don't know them and they become successful, we weren't producing the funniest guys. I know there was events that I had where I had to put together a show where we had to have five comedians or fill up an hour and a half, and I grabbed some cash from the open mics and, you know, birds or whatever, man. It's just, you know, just a lot that they didn't understand. I mean, a lot that they didn't get.
Right. All right. So I'm glad you said that, because from your perspective, I have my ideas of what I think goes into being a comic, but remember, my ideas is from a novel standpoint, so my ideas ain't even real. I don't even count mine as real. It's just the ideas that I have in my head. But from your standpoint, as a comedian, somebody who had, like, you, what, everything you have, you built with your hands straight out the mud. Everything you got, you built. You had to grind. You had to get it. You had to do what you had to do to get it. So what would you say goes into making a comedian, like, not just a comedian, but what would you say goes into making a good comedian? What does a person need to have?
Oh, shit, some patience. you gotta have some humility, man. You gotta be humble, dog. A lot of times, man, me too. You know, a lot of times after we do a good show, or we got a good streak of shows, man, we get real you know, somewhere I don't even want to call it arrogance, because we just confident in what we're doing, and we're glad that we got to this place where we can do what we set out to do. You know what I'm saying? So shit, you know, I'm happy that I'm able to do this. You know, so I wouldn't even really call it arrogance, but you know, sometimes, man, I've noticed that, you know, when you start doing good, you're hot shit, you know, and I just think, man, being humble and steady and focused on something more than money, I just think you'll get somewhere, man. You know, I mean, I ain't the most famous comedian or whatever. You know, I'm not that. I'm far from that. But you know, when you mention the 8th, 5th, or you start talking about comedy, man, you know, my name will come up. You know, shit, right. I would feel proud if we start talking about comedy in the state of Florida, my name will come up. But you know, I had to prove myself in front of crowds of people that I didn't know. Time after time after time again. Yeah. Shit, now it ain't scary, it's more anxious. It's more like, let me help him do this. Bro, you want me to go first? I go first, I don't care. You know, like, let's do it.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man.
That's what's up. So, yeah. So, like, do you, and I'm just asking because I don't know. Do you write? Do you like write out your jokes, or you like write out bullet points? You kind of like freestyle while you on stage, or how did that go?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. At first, you know, when the joke was first created, you know what I'm saying? I pretty much write that bitch out word for word. I want to say it, you know, the word play or whatever the case is I want to use with it. I write it out word for word. Do I write everything that I do on stage, man? Nah, I don't, man. Sometimes it's witty. Sometimes it just come up in a moment or whatever. But most of what I get up there and do is, you know, I done worked on, I done wrote it out, you know. I done try to make it make sense. And once I get the joke down and I'm setting up a set list or whatever, you know, I just kind of do bullets from there. But I think in the first creation of the joke from the beginning, wrote out word for word.
Okay, that's what's up. Now, because
I do that at home.
Right. Because I was curious about that because I understand, like, you know, as a comic, I believe all comics are witty, but there are different levels of witty. Some people are way more wittier than others, but all comics are witty. So, you know, I would imagine being able to like come up with some of the stuff, and I imagine some of them may be able to come up with it all, but I was always thinking, like, how much does actually writing the joke out go into it from there? Because I know you got to have some kind of foundation of what you want to say. So,
man, you know, man, honestly, man, I learned that shit come from your life.
Mm-hmm.
Come from your life and what you see, man. It's, I mean, bro, you know, most. Everything I came up with is from my life and what I see. You know, certain stuff I see on Facebook, man. I see these females going in on each other.
You know,
it was things that I did for long time. I saw females going in on each other. They was arguing. And this one girl was like, bitch, that's why you can't have your baby's birthday party until next week, because you don't get your food stamps until next week. I'm like, damn, hold up, you know, like they going in, like, boy, I'm like, let me write that down. What I said,
that's funny as hell.
The other people that be funny, man.
Right. Yeah. You're right about that. But that's another thing too. I noticed about comics, like, y'all are great observationalists, like people who really pay attention to what's going on around them in the detail. I think all artists do that, but certain artists have a specific eye for that thing, like photographers and like painters and writers and maybe singers and comics. Some of the ones who have a great eye for picking up on things to go around them, especially because it's a lot of, like, you can go to the Greyhound station to come back with a whole lot of material. So, you already know.
Yeah.
So, All right, so man, let's get into this, man. Saturday, October 23rd is going down. Silly Saturdays at the Signature Lounge right here in Tallahassee, Florida on Orange Avenue, man. It's really going down. So tell us about Silly Saturdays, man. Like, what is Silly Saturdays and how did Silly Saturdays come about?
Yeah. It is the only comedy show in Tallahassee on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to point that out.
The only
comedy show that happens in Tallahassee on Saturdays.
All right.
Are other comedy shows, but this comedy show happens on Saturdays.
On Saturday, get your mind right.
Part of your so this is, you ain't got to go to work tomorrow. You got time to recover. Okay? Silly Saturdays, man, I bring in, try my best to bring in some talent or some people that are interested in being in comedy. Some people that want to thrive in comedy at 850. I try to create what I didn't have so much coming up. And that's a regular comedy show. So if I bring another comedy show to the city, we already got other comedy shows in the city. That gives more opportunity for somebody coming up to get more work and get even stronger in what they're doing in the craft. So Silly Saturdays, I try to put together, man. It's a lot of us brothers out here that's coming up grinding in the game. I try to bring somebody from out of town to Silly Saturdays each and every time that we open the doors. Also at Silly Saturdays, man, I like to give birthday shots out for whatever month that we're in. You know, if it's your birthday month, you come in there, I always take care of you. So I take care of you, not your whole clique, just you. Bring your clique on in and have a great time. And pull out your phones, because something's going to be going down each and every time. Super sad to go on, bro. This is, we've been doing this for a few months now. I think this will be my fourth. This will be my fourth installment this month. We started Silly Saturdays back in July, but this is a comedy show that if you ain't got nothing going on October 23rd around 8 o'clock, and you want to be thoroughly entertained, and you want to find something new to do in Tallahassee, and in a new environment, and a new setup, you know, we got good drinks, we got good food, the atmosphere is grown. It ain't a little young kid atmosphere. It's a safe atmosphere. It's an atmosphere where you feel like you're in a different city. You know what I'm saying? You come in, that's, and you're getting an experience.
There you go. Get that experience.
We got the drinks flowing. We got the joke.
There you go, man. Look, ladies, look me in my eyes and look him in his eyes and make sure you can see this and have your sexy self in the Signature Lounge. Look in them eyes, lady. Look in them eyes. All right. Don't cheat yourself. Treat yourself. All right. Really, that's how we do it, man. That's what's up. Hey, so so
please,
Yeah, do that. Don't be mean to yourself, ladies. So you created Silly Saturdays. This your brainchild.
Yeah, that's me, Big Q Comedy.
Okay.
You can find me on
okay.
Instagram at Big Q Comedy. HOUCOMEDY. You can find me on Facebook as Brandon Houston. Matter of fact, you look in the background right there to the upper right hand corner of your screen. That's my handles for Facebook and Instagram. Please come over, check me out. I'm always putting together something. I'm always part of something. I've been doing this comedy grind for quite some time now, man. And I'm just ready to spread my wings, man, and go wherever God, you know, whatever road that he has me to go down, man, that's where I go.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, like, what goes into, like, putting together a comedy show, because you go from being somebody who is looking to be a part of other people's shows to creating your own show. So what goes into, because that's a mindset shift as well, to go from saying, all right, I'm looking for this person to help me, to, okay, I'm creating this for myself and I'm gonna help other people. So like, what really goes into actually putting on a comedy show?
Well, man, I mean, first of all, you gotta have clientele to talent. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have clientele to talent. Don't get out here and don't have clientele to talent. You gonna put together a below average, you know, product. I feel like once you get your toes in the door, man, and you know, you got other people, other peers that believe in you, and you know what I'm saying, want to work with you, and you know, ready to help you grow, man. You build some repertoire with some very good comedians that y'all believe in each other. That's the first thing, man. Making sure that you out there, you grinding, and you got a clientele with talent. Other things is, you just gotta, I mean, a lot of stuff you gotta learn, man, trial and error. You know, how to get people in the seats, how to get asses in the seats, how to get people to come out. But that probably one of the hardest things right there is get people to come out to your comedy shows. So I'm really trying my best to work as hard and as diligent as I can to get people to come out to my comedy show, man. October 23rd, man, Signature Lounge. You can get tickets at Eventbrite. You can even come right down here to 242 East Orange Avenue and pick up tickets anytime that this establishment is open.
Right. And if you go to onlyfans.com/BigHugh, you can get tickets as well. So make sure you go there and get your tickets for the X-rated comedy show coming up after the City Saturday. Yeah. So make sure you be there. I'll be DJing there. So but for real though. But make sure you all do support the show, support Big Hugh Comedy. You, like you say, you see the Facebook, you see the Instagram. Go ahead and make sure you check that out, because we want to make sure that we are supporting the people within our community who are doing things, man. So, like, is Silly Saturdays the first time you started hosting comedy shows?
Nah, man. I've been hosting comedy shows over 8 years, man. Silly Saturdays is just the latest of the shows that I.
Okay, so how did you get into hosting? Like, how you go from being the comic on the show to being the host? How that happened?
I mean, this is your event. Like, you go to somebody else's comedy show that they done created a comedy show. Now you done created a comedy show, so you can take whatever position you want to take. Man, you know, to give people the best experience of you. You host, you know, hosting ain't the easiest damn job, man. You know, you got to kind of like learn how to do it. Sometimes people think hosting is cool, but, you know, man, in between comedians, bringing the crowd back, getting the crowd in the right vibe, even when you start, getting the crowd in the right vibe, knowing when to tell the last joke or when to tell another joke. All that part of, you know, being a good host, man. So I got in the host of my own thing. You know, not going to other people's comedy show, paying at the door for other comedy shows. Do my own comedy show and have people to pay to come into my comedy show.
Okay, so basically you've been having your own comedy shows for past 8 years?
Oh yeah, yes sir.
That's what's up. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Because I believe in creating your own platforms, owning your own content, and doing things like that. I really believe in that. So I'm dead with somebody who got that same mindset to make sure that you own your own thing and create your own. So, all right. So, right. So, who will be performing at Silly Saturdays on the 23rd? Who you have performing?
Okay. Well, man, I got this funny young lady. I think she's from what part of Georgia, man? Some part of South Georgia, Pelham. From Pelham, Georgia.
Okay.
Acting a couple shows in Pelham, man. I did a show with her, a couple shows with her in Pelham. Did a show with her out in Dothan. Very funny young lady, man. Got a southern vibe to her, man, Miss Bree. Not sure how long she's been doing comedy, man, a few years. But you know, when she comes to the stage, man, she always find a way to deliver in her own special way, man. So she's fearless. Whatever she got, she's bringing it 110%. and she probably gonna get us started. Miss Bree.
Okay.
The other comedian I have is Ohead. Ohead is actually from around the area. We did quite a few shows together. Ohead has his own style and his own way of getting across. You know, involved with him, he has a lot of energy. I work with Ohead quite a bit, you know, and it's always good to give my brother an opportunity to be booked on his own show and, you know, able to do his own thing. So I was like, you know, let me give him an opportunity to come through and rock with City Saturdays. And, you know, to close everything out, man, I got a good friend of mine, man, O.D. Odell. Met his brother a few years back. He came down to Tallahassee to do a comedy show. Not my comedy show, but another comedy show here in Tallahassee, man. And O.D. Odell, Carolina King of Comedy. Very funny cat. I enjoyed him. I thought it'd be good to get him to come back down, man, and rip the stage again. He's coming out of Atlanta, Georgia. So this lineup should be different. I threw a female in the mix. I know last month we had a female. So this month I threw another female in the mix. And hopefully it's going to be a great show, man. I stand by all these comedians, and I think they're going to come through and do what they're tasked to do. I think they're going to do the assignment.
Do the damn thing. Yeah. That's what's up, man. But like I say, man, I think people are hard on comedians, but I think a lot of that comes from ignorance, though. And not ignorant as in stupid, but ignorance as in we just don't really know. So we create our own stories in our heads about certain things, because I'm always say that's one of the hardest art forms to do, like really stand up on stage in front of people who are expecting you to make them laugh, and then you make them laugh to actually do that. Like, it's a hard art form. So when people try to criticize comics, and of course anything put out in the realm can be criticized, but when people try to criticize comics, and it's a lot of that coming from a place of ignorance and not really understanding what all takes to be a comic and everything. It's just like, make me laugh. And it's just like, well, damn, it's an art to making your ass laugh. Like, god damn, like, this ain't the lunchroom, this is a comic stage. So, you know,
yeah,
I really believe that, you know. But and because it's like, put some goddamn respect on the art, man. Don't just act like it's some run-of-the-mill thing, because or don't wait till the comic becomes the greatest in the world to try to respect the art. Like, respect the art from the beginning to wherever they are, man.
Yeah, man, I think they're going to respect, you know, they respect it like they respect your job. You know, this is our job, but a lot of times people come to your job and be like, well, all you got to do is this and all you got to do is that. I know, you know, it's a little bit more difficult than what you think. This is a job. So, everybody's different, man. Everybody takes things different ways, man. So I don't try to make nobody, you know, feel this way or feel that way. I just try to handle people accordingly, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that is one of the most aggravating things when you see somebody on the first day, like, tell me a joke. Like, yeah, give me $20, I'll tell you a joke.
I'll give you another joke. I'm not a comic, and that pissed me off, bro. Man. Like, somebody, hey, you're a comic, tell me a joke. Like, the fuck hell wrong with you, man? Like, chill out. So
people gonna do that though, man. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta find something to do, you know, so something to put in there. So that was my thing. You know, well, tell me a joke. I said, hey, show me $20.
Right.
Kind of like a little, because people gonna
exactly. So I want to ask you this question here, though. Oh, go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
Just because
being the state of the social state of America, it feel like it's Dave Chappelle versus the world, but You know, he just put out his latest stand-up special, and he had his jokes about everybody, but especially people salty about the jokes about the LGBTQ community and things like that. And we're in a time where people are trying to censor what people are saying. People are getting canceled for saying what they're saying. But I believe comedy is one of the spaces where you should be able to say what you want to say, but it's an art to saying what you want to say. So as a comic, how do you find that balance into not letting somebody limit you in what you're saying, but still not going overboard, but still being funny at the same time?
Shit, man. I don't know, man. You just gotta be yourself, man. As long as you be yourself, man. I mean, I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? Fuck. I mean, you can't please everybody. And so, you
right.
know, Dave did what he felt like was true to him. Oh shit, Bernie Mac was still running. They been canceled the fuck out of Bernie Mac because they got them kings of comedy. Shit, I mean, he ripped that.
Yeah,
he couldn't do that same shit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
so I mean, man, everybody has an opinion, and you know, right. you can't please everybody. So everything that you do, you know, fuck, somebody gonna, you know, you're doing something, you know. Or if you got people trying to cancel you, you are doing something. They feel like what you're saying is important enough to want to make you not say it. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, but yeah. what you said though, be yourself. Still do you. Like do you. Whatever it is that you're gonna do. Do you? Somebody gonna like it or somebody not gonna like it, but do you? There it is, man.
Yeah, that's just what it is. I mean, other comedians, man, I've seen like some female comedians talking about some female shit. I don't know what the fuck going on, but everybody in the goddamn room dying. All females rolling on the fucking floor and shit. So, you know, it's,
right.
No, that's just.
Right, yeah. right. Nah, I got you. So man, once again, Saturday, October 23rd, man, going down at the Signature Lounge. Silly Saturdays, hosted by Big Hugh Comedy.
Yeah.
It's putting it on. Brandon Houston on Facebook, hey. Big Hugh Comedy on Instagram. Make sure you follow. Man, look, we always and this to my people, man. We're always talking about us having our own. When you look on social media, the black buy black everything, support black everything. Let's not just make these things hashtags and sayings on social media, man. Let's make this real in the field. All my Tallahassee folk come out, support all the people in surrounding areas. You know, you're close enough, get your ass down here, support. Even if it's not Big Hugh Comedy, support the comics in your local area and make sure we get out and just support people, period, in our community who are doing things, because that's the only way we're going to rise and really get to where we need to be and have what we need to have, so we won't keep depending on other folk. Because y'all always, we always talking about black folk having our own. This is how we have our own. So you got a black owned production at a black owned venue doing black excellence. So man, y'all make sure y'all come out and support Big Hugh Comedy, man. And so these two are the best two ways to contact you, Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, sir. Best two ways, man. Jump in my DM, I'm an inbox, man. I'll get back at you, man, if we can set something up, however you want to do it.
There it is. You got any final words you want to leave the folk?
I mean, yeah, man. Yeah, actually I do, man. One thing is, man, one thing that I learned, man, in life, man, is, you know, failure is necessary, man, and adversity is only an obstacle, man. It's not what you go through, man, but how you bounce back from whatever it is that you go through. I always believe in yourself, man, and as you got breath in your body, man, I always try to be a better you. And, The only thing we should not do, man, is give up. Because if you give up, I'm guaranteed you know that outcome. If you keep pushing, man, you have no idea of the possibilities, man. So, man, my thing is, you know, just love your life, enjoy your life. Every goddamn day ain't gonna be gravy, but take the gravy days with the non-gravy days and still eat. You know what I'm saying? We here, while we got breath in our body, let's be great. So, man, I just want to motivate everybody regardless of what you're going through, man. Somebody probably going through something worse. So just keep pushing and always remember what you're going through will always make you a better person.
There it is. Hey, man, couldn't have said it better myself, my brother. That's how you drop that mic on them folk. But like Dame Dad said, we don't do mic drops. We do bag drops because we getting money over here in our minds and our lives and our spirits and everything. There you go, man. Shout out to Dame Dash, Ernie Leisure, those guys over there. Shout out to all the comics in the world, the whole comedy scene in Tallahassee, my homie Oliver Mitchell, Big Q Comedy, everybody who's going to be performing at Silly Saturday. Shout out to you, your families, everybody. Man, let's support. Let's get out. Let's do what we do. Hey, man.
Oliver was going to Silly Saturday last month, man.
He did a set last month?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, hey, I see y'all at Silly Saturdays, man. I'm going to see y'all there. Y'all make sure y'all be in the building. We're going to hold it down. It's the Freedom Trade Podcast Series. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff there. And I see y'all when I see y'all. Holla at your homeboy.